Journal serves me correctly, I was here this same Sunday last year. Little did I know I was preaching prophetically. I preached on sailing over life's stormy seas. And did not know at that particular time what God had planned. But we both had COVID since December. And she had knee surgery and came home. And day after she come home, I found her unresponsive in the bathroom without a pulse. Business will pick up when that happens. You really pray then. She had had a reaction to the pain medicine. Of course, the hospital had given her the gift of C. diff while she was in there, and a blood clot in the lungs. So she spent 6 days in the hospital. Of course, myself, I've been put to sleep by a doctor 4 times since February, and found out I had stage 3 carcinoma bladder cancer. And gracious, God still got 3-4 more months in this year to show me that he's still good. Amen. He's still great. He's still wonderful. Amen. And he has not forsaken his throne. He's not up for election. Never will be. I'm glad of that this morning. During these days of difficulties, I was driven to look again. I'll not have a text this morning, so I'll not ask you to stand. But I was driven to look again at the prison situations in the Bible. Prison situations. There are 5 of them. You'd almost think God wrote the Bible. There being 5 of them. 5 being the number of grace. But there are times when the Bible writer found himself in a situation where there weren't no doorknobs on his side. Now, this is deep. I don't even know if you can get this one, but it'd be way over your head. If ain't no doorknobs on your side, you ain't getting out there unless somebody owned it from the other side. So, and I don't, unless you just got your head in the sand, you realize that God's got us in prisons today. We're in the COVID prison. I don't care what you do. You ain't getting out of this prison till he opens it from the other side. We're in a political prison. Amen. We're in financial prisons. You can do all you want to. You can cuss, discuss, and everything else. But there ain't no doorknobs on your side. You're not getting out. Till he lets you out from the other side. But this is what fascinated me about these 5 prisons. They scanned thousands of years of Bible history, these 5 prisons. But there is one common thread that is woven through all 5 of them. And it is this. That they never got free from the prison until they got free in it. Some of you are in a prison. We're all in some kind of prison. But some of you ain't never got free in it. You ever get free in it, you won't give a flip less if you ever get out of it. Because you'll enjoy him. I want to begin this morning. Once again, I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm just going to read a little bit, preach a little bit. But I want to, this morning, to look at Joseph's prison. It is the first prison in the Bible. I call it the prison of sufficiency. Prison of sufficiency. Webster defines sufficiency as having the means equal to any and all purposes. A provision that causes contentment. There's an interesting word, contentment. We're the most uncontented people in all the world. Amen. Yes, sir. no matter the circumstances. It's an interesting thing. Webster said, a state of not wanting. Ruh-roh. Wow. We could take on 50 missionaries if we would give up our wanter this morning. Very easy to say this morning that Christ is all I need. What's another thing to say Christ is all I want? I'm going to look at Joseph's prison this morning. Once again, not ask you to stand. Psalms 105. Read a little. Preacher, right off the bat, you've messed up. Joseph's prison's not in the Psalms. Joseph's prison's in Genesis. I'm here to tell you this morning in Psalms 105, there's more said about Joseph's prison than Moses ever said in Genesis. There is a mouthful said about Joseph's prison in Psalms 105. The prison of sufficiency. I tell you this morning, you'll never realize that Christ is all you want until he's all you got. And then you'll say, wow, there it is. He's all I've ever wanted because he's all I got. I noticed for Joseph this morning that it was a work of sufficiency. And the text would tell us in verses 16 and 17 that it was a hallowed work. He says, moreover, he, speaking of God, called for a famine upon the land. He, talking about God, broke the whole staff of bread. He, talking about God, sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. A hallowed work. He called for the famine. I was interested in the little word called here. Very interesting word. Means to cause to happen. Means to ordain. Means to cause to come into existence. God called, planned the starvation of this nation. I did not know if you know it or not. I hate to be the first one to tell you. But God plans everything. Do not think that some little Chinaman in the Wuhan lab caused our problem. Oh no. Job told his wife after she told him to cuss God and die. He said, the same hand brought us all this good that you've been down there at the church shouting about is the same hand that has brought us all this evil.
Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
Are you listening to me this morning? God caused this plague, this famine, an extensive dearth, a lack of food, causing one to famish without hope. Oh, who has put us in these prisons? It is God. And there's no doorknobs on our side. I think I would begin to meditate on getting free in it. Because it may be a while before you get free from it. It's a hallowed work. But here's what fascinates me. Verse 17 says, he sent a man before them. I was interested in that little phrase, before them. I got to thinking about God's ability to send solutions before the problem gets here. Did you know that Joseph had been down in Egypt for 20 years long before they had the problem? God had already sent the solution. I don't care what kind of problem you got this morning. You can rest assured God sent you the solution for the problem.
They said, "Preacher, how come I can't see the solution?" Because you eat up with the problem.
Amen.
You get your eyes off the problem, start looking for a solution, or you'll get free. I was thinking about that with our little encounter. She got C. diff in the hospital. She's in there 6 days. The only medicine that our regional hospital, a very big hospital, the only thing they had for C. diff was liquid medicine. And every time she took it, she'd throw it back up. You know anything about C. diff, you better get that medicine pretty quick or you're going down. I asked the infectious disease doctor, she was a lady, a good Christian lady. I said, "They got any pills for C. diff?" She said, "You know, I don't know if they do or not." She said, "We've not used pills here in a long time. We use this liquid medicine." She said, "But I'll go and launch a search, see if I can find some." She looked all over the United States. She finally found a pharmaceutical company in Atlanta, Georgia. She needed 20 of them. They said, "We've got 20. Said it'll be $4,000 for them. You know, $4,000 ain't a lot of money if you say it quick. You say it slow, a lot of money. Old boy there in the financial office, he told me, he said, "You know, with your copay and your insurance," he said, "I can get it down to $11.27. It was his. I thought, you know, that's not too bad. He said, "But if you'll give me 3 or 4 days, he said, "I can get you a scholarship. I think I can get it down real low." I said, "How long it take to get them pills here?" He said, "They said they can carry them here in 3 hours." I said, "Here's my Visa card. I want them pills here now." "Oh, that's, oh, if you say an amen to that, you fixing to stand up and shout with what I'm going to tell you." Because I told you, God sent the solution long before the problem. I went to the mailbox in Winterville, Georgia. You know good and well if there is a letter in my box on that day that I got about the pills. You know good and well somebody has sent that letter several days ahead of time for it to come on that day. There's a letter in that box from a church in Salisbury, North Carolina. They don't even know I'm sick. Don't know she's sick. They sent me a check for $1,200. I paid for my pills and had change to boot. I was still in my prison, but I was having a time. You listening to me this morning? Oh, it's a hallowed work. But I noticed for Joseph, it was a humbling work. God sent this famine, he said in verse 16, to break the whole staff of bread. Break, to crush beyond repair, staff of bread, that which one would lean on for his daily supply. What is God up to? He wants to take away everything you and I are leaning on to hold us up. Finally come to the point of bowing our knee and saying, "God is all I want." Crushed it. Why was Joseph placed in this particular prison? Genesis 39 said he was placed in the king's prison, the place where the king would put all of his renegades in. What better place to be if you're going to one day run the whole kingdom? It's to hang around those that didn't run it well. You could at least learn how to not do it. Hello! What a God we have. He moves without shedding one blink of an eye. What a God. But I notice for him, Joseph, not only the work of sufficiency, I notice the wounds
of sufficiency. The psalmist tells us there were physical wounds. He says in verse number 18, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. That little word hurt there, to depress, to deal harshly with, to go beyond the threshold of the endurance of pain. Time out. Hold on. Do you realize that nowhere in the Genesis account are we ever told in any Joseph's quotes that he ever talked about his feet hurting because they had been crushed in iron? The only thing I can figure is that he didn't whine about his feet, but the good Holy Ghost got it, and he made groanings and utterings to the Father. And the Father said, let's put that in holy writ. Hallelujah. You listen to me this morning. Or you can whine about your little old problems if you want to. Probably won't get no help from heaven. I wonder sometimes if the Holy Ghost, when he hears us whining, doesn't ask us if we'd like to have a little cheese with that wine. You listen to me this morning. Oh, Joseph didn't whine about his problems. He gave them to the Lord. I remember when she was checking into the hospital, the lady that was checking us in told her, she said, here at our hospital, during your stay, she said, if we don't take all of your dignity away, we feel like we have failed. They did a good job. You listen to me this morning. Oh, God's out to take all of your dignity away, my friend. He wants you to come to the place where he is all, not only you need, all that you want. Physical wounds. But I see there were spiritual wounds. He says in verse number 18, they were laid in iron. In our vernacular, it would be a blood supplement to build up weak people. God brings strength out of our weak. How does God make you strong? Make you weak. How does God bring you up? Bring you down. America's got too big for her britches. That's no problem. He's going to take the air out of all of that. How does God make rich? Makes you poor. Brings poverty. How does God put somebody back together, make them whole, breaks them in pieces where they can't put themselves back together? Laid in iron, blood supplement to build up weak people. That little phrase, laid in iron, hot piercing into the soul. This was an inward piercing of the heart of Joseph. So much easier to take hurt. You know God's behind it all. He's planned it all. He's called it into existence. I love sometimes the old song, I need thee every hour. But I tell you, it hadn't done much for me lately. Because I really don't want him coming by every hour. That gives me 59 minutes to mess up. I'm leaning more and more in this day to moment by moment I'm kept in his love. I'm more to the thought, God, don't you go nowhere if you ain't going to take me. Are you listening to me? The things of this world that are hurting us ought to drive us to the, this is deep now, I don't know if you can get this or not, to the iron supplement. Amen. Something can build you up. Huh? The only thing can build you up is to get into the the Word of God. I was thinking about old John Huss. John Huss was sentenced to be burned at the stake for his preaching of the gospel. They stripped old Huss down, preacher. He was in his 70s. Stripped him down naked and paraded him through the town with a dunce hat on him. Archdemon across the front of him. Over to the side, a big bonfire. They were burning all of Huss's books and burning his library. I was studying his life and I wondered, what world could a man go to that stake, watch all of his library, everything he had written, go up in flames? How could he willingly, without any struggle, do that? Found in some of his writings, the little parish church that he pastored, he taught them, this is what the text said, he taught them the imbibing of the Scriptures. I saw that preacher. I said, what in the world is that? Imbibing of the Scriptures. I looked that little word imbibing up. It is a word that is used for one who is drunk or addicted to alcohol or drugs. He taught his people to become addicted like a drunk, amen, like a dope addict to this book. I notice some of you don't even have a Bible with you. I don't know what you're addicted to. But it ain't this. Do you think a junkie would go anywhere this morning without a little something to sniff or a little something to shoot? No. Addicted to the Word of God. The iron supplement. Only thing that will take you through it. The work. I see also the word of sufficiency. He says in verse number 19, until the time that his word came. God had sent Joseph a word. Long before he got down to Egypt, a young teenage boy dreamed a dream. That's how God spoke in those days. He don't speak like that no more, unless you eat pizza late at night. He'll say strange and mysterious things to you when you eat pizza at night, but it ain't God. But in those days, he spoke through dreams. He told him that all of his brothers and mom and daddy were going to bow to him. They said, you're crazy. I'm not going to bow to you. It took 20 years maybe to loosen the knees up, get them where they were able to get down. But they did. The word came. Oh, if God's got you shut up this morning in some kind of prison, you sense there's no doorknob, or maybe you're dealing with someone who has been locked up in a spiritual prison and no doorknobs on their side, keep your ear attuned. God will talk. He will give a word. But you can be assured of this in verse 19, the word of the Lord tried him. Whatever word God gives you, you try it. 20 years, God tried that word. Don't you reckon people thought Joseph was crazy when he told him his dream story? Dream boy, you crazy, man. Nobody going to bow down to you. You're in prison. Learned word. And I noticed that it was a leaning word. Until the time, verse number 19, all of those years, brothers putting him in a pit. Hey, Joseph, what you going to do? I think I'll just lean on the word. It's all I got. Matter of fact, it's all I want. Potiphar's house, wife accused him of rape. Hey, Joseph, what you going to do? Get even with her? No. I'll just lean on that word.
God gave me. All through prison, God causing him. See, leaning on God's word demands faith living. You may not see anything. Maybe your prison may get worse. Keep leaning on that word, the word of sufficiency. And to close with this thought, wind my thoughts up. I notice the wonder of sufficiency. There's the wonder of freedom. The Bible says in verse number 20, the king sent and loosed him. Too late. Sorry. Too late. You got to Joseph too late. Loosen him. How come? He's already free. Crazy nuts enjoying prison. Matter of fact, he's running it. How come he gets to run it? He's got God with him. You listening to me? Too late. He's free. I tell you what, I don't know what God's got you locked up in, but if you ever get free in it, you can rest assured of one thing. People will notice it. I said, that crazy nuts ain't got free in his troubles. I tell you, the devil will leave you alone. He said, ain't no need to fool with him. They done got free. Wonder of freedom. But I see the wonder of favor. Said in verse 21, he made him lord of his house, ruler of all his substance. Bind his princesses in his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. He's the lord of the house. He's got binding power, loosing power. Oh, what freedom God has given Joseph. I close this morning, if you have the Bible there, read a verse out of the Genesis account of the life of Joseph, one that has constantly fascinated me. In Genesis chapter number 50. Before I read that verse, I was wondering, would quote another verse and leave a blank for you to fill in. But before you fill in the blank, I was interested if you'd take your halo off. Pull your angel wings back. Set them aside. Here's the verse I would quote to you. For me to live is blank. Oh, I know. I know. Oh, preacher, that's Christ. Now I'm asking you to set aside your halo, your wings. What is real living to you? I tell you what, if I can't preach, I'd soon die. That's what Paul said. That's right, I tell you what, if I ain't got my health, I'd just soon leave this world. Ain't what Paul said. Amen. Well, I tell you what, if I catch that COVID, I just feel like it's over. Ain't what Paul said. What is real living to you? Paul said, for me to live is Christ. It's all I want. It's all I want. Verse I would read in your hearing, Genesis chapter 50. After daddy had died, Jacob, the boys took him down there and buried him. I'm sure they whispered on the way back, Joseph's going to get us now. You're going to get revenge. You're going to get even. He told him in verse 20, he says, but as for you, and his brothers, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is to this day to save much people alive. I was interested in that little phrase, meant it. It is the little Hebrew word for a tapestry. See, you boys have been weaving tapestry for me. said, you've been weaving all kind of evil on my behalf. That's what God's doing with your life this morning. He's weaving a tapestry. Problem is, as it was with Joseph, he don't let you ever see much but the bottom side. Hey, you preacher, I don't know what kind of sewing you do, but oh, I do good up there. That looks like a scrambled mess. I can't make any sense out of it. Yes. When I look at my life sometime, I cannot make any sense out of it. Because I'm looking at the bottom side. God meant it for good. But one day when we cross the great divide, land on heaven's shore, we might look on the other side of the gate and see the great words, God meant it for good. All of it. You said, preacher, it was horrible. I don't care. He said, I still meant it all for good. I'm glad of that this morning, aren't you? Joseph's prison of sufficiency. He said, as the songwriter said, Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. He was crucified. For me he died on Calvary. For that he loved me so. This is why I know. Christ is all I need. Could I bank it up another level? I wonder if you could sing the song like this morning. Christ is all I want. Christ is all I want. All I want. Christ is all I want. Christ is all I want. All I want. He was crucified for me. He died on Calvary. For that he loved me so. This is why I know. Christ is all I want. I wonder this morning, if you'd be honest with yourself, preacher, God's got me in a prison. No doorknobs on my side. I don't doubt some of you here this morning in a prison of sin. You die this morning, hell will be your home. Can't get out of it. You'd be good if you want to. Drop some money in an offering plate. Ain't going to get you out of the prison of sin. The only way you can get out of the prison of sin, he lets you out from the other side. It's all about him. About something you did, some decision you made, some prayer you prayed. No wonder the songwriter said, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling.
Right.
All about what he did. About what I did. Prison of sin. I don't know what kind of prison you're in this morning. You never get free from that prison. You get free in it. We're standing this morning, our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Maybe sister come around and play us a little something on the instrument. Preacher, I'll be honest with you, I am shut up in a situation. And I'm pacing, trying to figure this thing out. I'm interested this morning in getting free in it. I realize God's the only one who can free me. I wonder if you'd want to root you out a place in this altar and make that known to him. Lord, I need your help. I'm tired of wrestling this thing. I realize I can't get out of it. Listen, he sets me free from the other side. But I want to get free in it. Enjoy him. Maybe you're here this morning and lost. Preacher, if I die, I know hell's my home. He's got me shut up. If you come get in this old altar this morning and ask God if he'd let the chains of sin fall off from you. See the gate of grace open unto you. See the crucified Christ paid it all.
altar's open. I'll cease playing. You need to come. You'll come. You do whatever God wants you to do. It's a great blessing this morning. I don't get this opportunity often to preach to a large group like this where only three or four of them's in a prison. That's amazing to me. I'm glad to see that most of you are out. And I'd be a fool if I believed that. Some of you in prison don't even know it. It ain't dawned on you yet. Tell you what, if it ever dawns on you, you'll want to get to heal. Say, he's all I want. Well, in another moment or two, altar's open. You do whatever God tells you to do. It'll be good. It'll be perfect.